Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Terraists. Welcome to the Terra Show.
It's the Terra Show. American
Girl. Live and local on 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station.
Yes, so the whole Ukraine conspiracy, you know, the hit on quid pro Joe.
Yeah.
With a quid pro.
Yeah.
For Joe to take Joe out. It's done. It's over. We're finished here. It just fell apart completely. There's nothing
you left. Should alert the media then.
Yeah, no, I'm a little frustrated with that this morning because I don't know what more proof we need. I mean, we have the documents. We have John Solomon, the only actual reporter left on the Hill.
Pretty much.
Doing actual reporting on stuff. Yeah, it's over. We're done here, and we're going to need to move on. We're going to... by the way, have you seen that meme online? It's so funny. You know, it's the one, and he's on the Jaws boat. I remember when the guy from Jaws goes, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah,
except they have Chuck Schumer's face, where that guy, like the captain's face is, you know, and it says, we're going to need a bigger hoax.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, they're going to need another hoax because the whole thing just fell apart. Because the story is that on July 25th, the president called up and he demanded that Ukraine go investigate Joe, right? And then he withheld the funds to make him do it. And that's that story. Okay, now, well, the ambassador in charge of dealing with Ukraine, Volker, testified last week. That didn't happen. See, I'm the one who deals with the Ukraine, go back and forth with them on the president's behalf every day. That didn't happen. That was never said. It was never conveyed. They were never under that impression. Then the president of Ukraine comes out and says, no, that was never the deal. Didn't happen. That's not good enough for the Democrats. They want to take the word of somebody who secondhand heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. Yeah. Right? Now, that is an impeachable offense, even if everyone involved says it didn't happen. Okay. Well, now we got a problem with the timeline, and it's a big problem. The theory is that Trump withdrew the money temporarily in order to force them to investigate Joe. Well, the whole thing doesn't work if they were already investigating Joe and then Trump withheld the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't work, would it?
No.
Well, see, the problem is that's the timeline.
Yeah.
And John Solomon has the documents to prove it. He links to them in the Hill, but he was on Hannity last night. Take a listen to him explain this. The investigation into Joe and Hunter Biden was first proposed in February and began in March. Trump's phone call was in July. See how that timeline doesn't work there?
Yeah,
even in Common Core math, it doesn't. Here we go.
The U.S. government was aware through open source intelligence in February that NABU, an FBI-like agency in Ukraine that fights corruption, in fact, it was started by Joe Biden, that it requested a reopening of the investigation into Burisma, its owner Zolchevsky, and unusual transactions in the Burisma accounts in February of 2019. On March 28, 2019, the General Prosecutor's Office agreed to that a request to open an investigation, and they filed a 15-page notice of suspicion alleging that there may be illicit funds that were running through Burisma from 2010 all the way through 2015. That's important because Hunter Biden's on the board for two of those years, 2014, 2015. And specifically, that notice of suspicion said they were looking at the possibility that the $3.4 million paid to Hunter Biden's firm may have been part of the illicit funds that were moving through the company. A month later, in April, the prosecutor's office, open source intelligence, again, U.S. government officials confirming they were aware of this, made a request of another investigative agency in Ukraine for assistance in going through these bank records. That is a significant change in the timeline. It was omitted from the whistleblower's complaint. And the question is, did he not know it? Or did he exclude it because it didn't fit the narrative he was trying to write? That's a question for Congress.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. There's nothing here. Timeline doesn't even work.
This is just...
See, now you can understand this is why... They know this. Nancy knows this. Schiff knows this. They all know this. There's no way that John Solomon knows this and they don't know this. So this is why this has got to go down behind closed doors. Because they cannot have, this is going to be the first question Jim Jordan asks, or whoever.
Yeah.
Is on whatever committee they do it. If it ends up in public, that should be the Judiciary Committee.
If Republicans are allowed to ask questions.
Yeah, but they're not. Not like they normally do, because, and even then it's behind closed door, because they could tear this apart in 15 minutes if they wanted to. Now, here's the crazy part, because I wondered about this. Do you know where Ukraine got the information on Hunter Biden's millions transferred directly into his bank account by Ukraine after being, you know, kicked out of the Navy for snorting too much cocaine up his nose? Do you know where they got the information that prompted the investigation? This is interesting.
Where did they get it?
Well, I'll tell you. It was the same place I did, and you did, and we did, and Solomon did, and Peter Schweitzer did. It was a federal court case. It just so happens that Biden's business partner, who shares some of his bank accounts, was under federal investigation, resulted in a federal court case, right? And the FBI was looking into him. They were trying not to look into Hunter, because that's what they do. But they were looking into his business partner on something else. And the bank records, including the Ukraine transfers, became public. That's how Peter Schweitzer knew about it. Okay? Well, the Ukraine government found out about it the same way you did, I did, Peter Schweitzer did, and John Solomon did, from a federal court filing that the media is pretending doesn't exist. John Solomon explains.
With that, the FBI raided Devin Archer's office and his bank records in an unrelated case in 2016. They show transfers of $166,000 a month and as high as $220,000 in 1 month going into Hunter Biden and Devin Archer's firm. That's a lot more than $50,000. And it was one of those things that piqued the Ukrainian prosecutor's interest in reopening the case in March of 2019. The size of the money was much larger than Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have been saying.
Yeah, so the FBI investigation is 2016 into Hunter's partner. It doesn't go big. You remember me, you and I talking about this, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't go big till Schweitzer puts it in his book. It winds up, guess where? New York Times. Remember New York Times did actually some honest reporting before they realized that was a problem? And the reason they were interested in it, because remember, Schweitzer not only took out Joe Biden for his corruption, he took out Mitch McConnell too. So they were, Mitch McConnell's the Republican head of the Senate. So they were big into the Mitch McConnell thing. And in the process, they also reported everything you just heard there. Now, the New York Times, like, the way it works now, we have this thing called the internet. And so if you're in Ukraine and you can speak English, you can read the internet here. And so you would have known about Hunter Biden and the corruption. This is how the prosecutors found out about it. It was right in the pages of the New York Times. It was in Peter Schweitzer's book, New York Times bestseller. I mean, so this stuff is not secret.
No.
It's not a conspiracy. It's not some crazy thing floating around Washington. It's right there in the New York Times bestseller.
And that story came out in either late May or early July in the New York Times. I was taking a look at it just the other day. That whole story in the New York Times.
Yeah.
About this, and it's like before the phone call.
Yes, before the phone call. So again, to recap what has just come out here, if you're just tuning in, you're confused. The Ukraine government announced this intention to investigate Hunter Biden and Burisma and the transfer payments in February. In March, they formally opened the investigation with a court filing. And in July, Trump called. So the idea that he's like taking her money away so we could start an investigation into Joe to help my campaign, which is not illegal, but they're saying he did it. It didn't happen. The investigation was already up and running.
Exactly.
Makes no sense. You can't make this work. And that's why we're having a double secret Inspector Gadget impeachment. Behind closed doors, Republicans can't ask questions, and you don't get to see a transcript. Because it all fall apart in 5 minutes. And it might take 15. If the public could see this on television. Honestly, how long can they keep this up, do you think?
I don't know.
See, I was thinking by Friday it would be over. I don't know.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now, 106.3 WORD proudly presents The Tara Show.
More stimulating talk.
Here's Tara.
I can't believe how many requests I'm getting to repeat this. I normally don't do this. I was just a throwaway thing from the first hour. because it works so well. I couldn't believe it works so well. Okay. Here's the background, just really quickly. And we all face this to some degree, even as adults. Do you remember that, like, just awful feeling of going to school for the first day? Like, you don't know anybody? We've all done that once, at least once, right? Oh, it's so awful. So awkward. Well, my daughter, who is awesome and just the sweetest person you ever want to meet, has never had any trouble making friends. She's always been a popular group of kids at school, that sort of thing. Well, she went to middle school, and she's the one I worry about the least. And her middle school is, we're in a really weird little area, and I don't know, 25 kids or something from her elementary went to that middle school. That was it. And the rest came from other schools. So they all know each other. They've been together since kindergarten. But I wasn't worried because her best friend was going to school with her too, and that'd be great. Well, they have no classes together, no lunch together, nothing. They never see each other except in car line. And so for the first time in her life, she's dealing with kids who don't want to make friends. They already have friends. And she's like, Mom, I ate lunch alone. I've never done that. And oh, it breaks your heart when your kids it just breaks your heart. You just want to go in there and take the pain for them, don't you? Oh, and when you can't control it, it's awful. So I wanted to do something. You just tell her something. And you know, she told me, she said, other kids are sitting at lunch too, and we're just staring at each other, which we don't know what to do. And I talked to the vice principal about this. I mean, it just came up in conversation with her. I just happened to talk to her one day. And she said, these kids are coming in. They've spent their whole lives on computers. They don't know how to talk to each other. And that's not my daughter. She's super friendly, but I could see that. So I wanted to help her, and I Googled how to make friends in middle school, right? Not with much hope of finding anything that would work, but I wanted to tell her something, anything to make her feel better, right? So anyway, on one of these sites, I was like, okay, this is a concrete thing we can do. And it said, you know, have a list of 5 or 6 questions, memorize them, repeat them back to yourself, and ask these 5, 6 questions of everybody you come in contact with. And do it religiously, and you'll have friends eventually. So I gave her the list. You know, she's rolling her eyes because I am so uncool. I could never possibly help with a thing like this. But I kept bugging her and bugging her, and I'd say when she got in the car, how many people did you ask the questions to today? None. Do you have friends? No. All right, well, we're going to do one tomorrow. Get in this car and tell me you did it with one person. I said, you're going to get rejected. Some people are going to tell you no. That, you know, they're going to just gaff you off or whatever. I said, but you got to keep asking them. Just keep. I know this will work. I didn't actually know it would work, but I wanted to tell her something. So I made her memorize them. And what we came up with is, what elementary school did you go to? Do you play any sports? Because she's sporty. Did you move here like me, or has your family always lived here in Greenville? Who's your homeroom teacher? And she added, do you have brothers or sisters? Because she's got 2 pesky brothers and she likes to complain about that. And I don't know, she added another one too. And I said, okay, we set a goal. We're going to do 1 person a day, maybe 2. And when she finally started doing it, she did have some awkwardness in the beginning. One girl like walked away in the middle of the question. But I'm telling you, it took about a month. And man, she's got a ton of friends. I go pick her up. She's standing in a group. And you know what the interesting thing about it is? I just told the story because I thought adults could use this too. I mean, we all go to a new church. We go to a new, move into a new neighborhood, new pool, wherever. New job, that's the worst, right? When you don't know anybody and they're all friends. I couldn't believe how well it worked. And you know what she said? She said it was really awkward at first, but then I got so used to asking these questions. Basically, she said, you know, it started to sound natural. And I told her, I said, don't stop. Because I said, next year, we're going to be in the same place. You're going to be all new classes, all new people, and you'll be back to zero. I said, you got to make as many friends this year as you can so that you'll have friends next year. So I said, keep asking. And as she said, she makes a game of it now. She'll go, you know, she'll like pick someone. See, I wonder if I can get that person to talk to me. She'll go up to somebody like, aren't you in so-and-so's homeroom? It works. It does. And the funny thing is I just Googled how to make friends in middle school. I didn't have a lot of hope. So I thought I would share it with you. If you're in a situation like that, you meet people all the time, maybe you're in sales, come up with a list of 5 things or share it with your kids. And you got to be serious about it. I mean, they got to memorize it. I made her memorize it. She'd roll her eyes. Come on. And make them do it. And look, they will get shot down in the beginning because they're going to be scared and awkward. But just make them do it again and again and again. It gets natural. So it was cool. It was awesome. It helped. And I thought I'd pass it along. You wouldn't believe the response I'm getting to this morning. Texter writes, your conversation starter tips for your daughter will serve her for the rest of her life. My husband learned those tips from Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People in 1968. He He never worries about entering a group of strangers because he can always think of a few questions to start the conversation off. Good for you for helping her. Mom knows best. See, that's what I say. But no one in my family believes that anymore because I'm not cool. Texter writes, how wasn't Trump or Hillary one of the questions? I don't think that's a good idea. Texter writes, Erdogan, talking about the leader of Turkey. Erdogan wants Turkey to be the next caliphate. That's true. He'll unleash ISIS and they'll destroy him and Turkey. We'll kill ISIS again, but at least we'll be rid of Turkey. Nobody knows how this is going to go. And you know what happened? Okay, Trump told the Europeans, we had like 4,000 ISIS fighters and like 38,000 spouses and kids in custody. And Trump, a lot of them are European fighters. And Trump said to Europe, take them because we're not putting them in Gitmo and then have y'all want to complain about human rights abuses. And Europe said, no, we don't want them. We're not taking them. So he gave them to Erdogan. And now he's saying, you release them, I will wreck your economy. And what happens if he releases them? Those are the ones we captured, not killed. We killed most of the caliphate. What happens if they release them? We'll kill them. Like, no, wait, we abandoned them. No, we didn't. We're still killing ISIS. Last week, we dropped 80,000 pounds of bombs on a single island because there were a couple hundred ISIS fighters there. We wiped the island off the face of the earth. That was just last month. We haven't given up the fight on ISIS. No matter what you heard on CNN, it's going to be fine. It's going to be great. I just want to read this text real quick. My son started middle school this year, too, and the problem is everybody has a phone. He does not and will not anytime soon. Kids do not know how to talk to one another, and it breaks my heart. I wish all middle schools had a no-phone policy. Me, too. But I got her a phone. Think about getting him a phone. I'm telling you, he'll get left. They text each other at night. He'll get left behind. Trust me on this one.
To Tara on the Ingalls Advantage talk line at 800-347-1063.
Live and local.
This is the Tara Show.
1063 WORD.
All right, so meanwhile, Robert Mueller coal busted lying under oath. And like literally no one cares. Except Fox News. It is amazing. Did you see this, by the way? Elizabeth Warren has now officially, at least in national polls, when you go state by state, it doesn't work out this way, but has passed Joe Biden in the Democrat polls. And what is amazing about that is this is the very, like, she just, the very week she just got told, got busted telling a lie that would have sunk a Republican candidate. I mean, like a psycho level lie. Did you hear what she said? You might have seen it. She said she got fired for being pregnant. I'll let her tell you about it.
I was visibly pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And the principal did what principals did in those days. Wished me luck and hired someone else.
And said, I don't think this is going to work out for me. And I was pregnant with my first baby. So I had a baby and stayed home for a couple of years.
Yeah, see, so she got fired because, you know, it was just back in the days when women were terribly discriminated against. And now the principal didn't want kids to see a pregnant woman. This is the 1970s, right? Yeah, there's a problem with that. It's not true. Newly unearthed documents show that Senator Warren was not telling the truth. These are school board records. Documents show that Warren was, in fact, rehired to teach for a second year, despite her claim she was fired for being pregnant. Despite the offer from the Riverdale Board of Education, she resigned. This is from their April 21st, 1971 meeting minutes. The item described the second year job offer they made to her while she was pregnant. Yeah. And it says that she declined their offer. She's a speech teacher. So she claimed she was fired from her job as a public school teacher because of pregnancy discrimination. That's not what the school board was told in their meeting minutes. They specifically refer to her as Mrs. Elizabeth Warren, pretty straight up who that is. And they even, so it notes that she declined the job, and they even note that they were not happy about that. They, you know, they were bummed she didn't take the job. How do we know this? Well, I mean, you would think this is, I mean, this is a big deal. Like, this is now the leading or second, depending on the state, in line Democrat presidential candidate. I mean, you would think this would be a big deal. They would want to look into this, right? Media, you know. I mean, that's a pretty big lie. Especially since on camera, she told a totally different story for why she quit the job. In that one, she quit the job. In this one, she got fired for being pregnant. They're both on camera. The story, they're both on camera. Now she's saying, well, you know, I was embarrassed to tell it. No, you were lying. And how do we know that? Washington Examiner went and dug up the records. Nobody else, Washington Examiner, conservative outlet. We wouldn't even know this. The entire mainstream media, think how big of a story this is. This is now the leading Democrat candidate. She's lying through her teeth. They just ignore it. Just pretend it didn't happen. That's how dishonest they are. So you trolls out there who are like, well, CNN said, yeah, who cares what CNN said? They do little more than cover for politicians. This is why it is so important that we continue to have right-leaning media in this country as well as left-leaning media. That one is not throttled. Because we literally will have no idea what the truth is about what people we vote for do. What a whack job, by the way. Making it. What does it say about how great women have it in America? That you have to lie about being discriminated against because you can't find an actual example in your whole life. Yeah, women got it pretty good.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.